The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Wow, Parky, what a 2 weeks of rugby league action we've had.
Tell you what, it's been cracking, hasn't it? We've seen some great games from all three sets of competitions.
It's been cracking like eggs.
Excellent, yeah, and so is the defences. I mean, did you see that pass of Rangi Chase's?
Wow, what's going on there? Like a...
Absolutely fantastic.
Now you see, now you don't.
It was. I've been seeing those nearly every week from Sam Barlow in the Championship for Lee Centurion.
I'm sure you haven't. I'm sure you haven't.
Hey, Greg McNally can come up with a pass or two as well.
And the way he's, he has his critics to us, Mr. Rangi Chase, but when he does stuff like that, he's unplayable.
You're right. He can be completely unplayable, but it's just getting that level of consistency, because he'll go and have a game like that where everything stuck and he was an absolute magician with the ball in hand, and he could have one next week where, you know, everything turns to solid rat what's it.
We just stick with gold, shall we?
Yeah. We'll stick with him going gold at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, magic passes from him. I'm sure Yeston Harris and the Salford Red Devils, Mr. Kukash, will be hoping he produces more of them for the rest of the season.
Definitely.
Okay, what's coming up on this podcast? Well, we're going to be talking World Club Challenge, but everybody else is, so we might as well do it.
We might as well jump on the bandwagon here,
yeah,
Adrian.
Why not?
Yeah, we've never been one to stay off it for long, have we?
Not at all. We'll be hearing from plenty of characters and personalities within the world of Rugby League, and we'll be getting to hear what those chaps in the Rugby League Street are talking about as well.
Double dose of Rugby League Street this week.
Oh, they crossed up with Gareth Hoch, yeah.
They did, yeah. He's a new resident. We heard about Gareth moving house, actually, when he left Salford, but he's moved in on Rugby League Street.
Certainly has, and he's, do you think he's going to make himself at home at Lee?
I think there's enough characters in that Lee squad, to be honest, to make him feel right at home,
sure,
to be honest.
Can.
I think that, I know speaking to Sam Barlow at the weekend, he's actually quite looking forward to Gareth Hoch coming in, because he reckons that referees will start looking at what Gareth's doing and not so much what he's doing. But less said about that, the better.
Okay, time for the good, the bad and ugly of Rugby League. Well, first of all, good. It's England and New Zealand test venues being announced for next year's tour. Hull, London's Olympic Stadium. We're going to end it in Wigan. Something for everybody there.
How exciting is that? I mean, it's 150 years of celebration for Rugby League in Hull, and we all know the close affinity that Kiwi players have had with that Hull club down the years, so it's great that they've got a test match to cheer. Taking it down to London is an eye-popping game, really, isn't
it? I've got my hotel booked already.
I have to admit, I've not quite booked it yet.
Cardboard
but I'm looking.
Box underneath the Tower Bridge, I'm there.
He's taking a pile of big issues as well, just to sleep under and whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's always a good...
That's just to pay for the weekend. I've got to sell all the big issues while I'm down there to get, so I can pay for the match ticket.
No, but I mean, taking it to the former Olympic Stadium, I mean, Rugby League gets to be played there before Premier League football. I mean, West Ham's moving in next season, aren't they?
It's a track there. I might do the 100 metres while we're waiting for the kickoff.
I'm sure there might still be a track there somewhere for you to, put your paces to the test, shall we speak? You did used to be a winger, didn't you?
Trying to impress Mr. Kearney, get a nod for New Zealand.
In fact, was you a winger or was you more a whinger?
A whinger.
Ah, right, okay. I just had to just double check that.
And it's good we're going back to Wigan, because you've got to end the test series with a nice pie.
You're back with your pastry temptations again, aren't
you?
Yeah, I think bringing it back to Wigan, hopefully by that stage it might be a 1-1 or even a 2-0 in favour of England.
If it's a 2-0, I'm having mushy peas on my pie to celebrate.
You definitely are pushing the boat out there then, Adrian. I'm going to hold you to that, actually.
Sticking in Wigan for the good. I know this is a football-related story, but we're going to run with it, see what you think. Dave Whelan stepping down as the Wigan Athletic Chairman. Now, you're wondering, why is that a good for Rugby League? Well, myself and half of Wigan, I've never really forgiven Mr. Whelan for, one, using the famous Rugby League club as a vehicle to push forward his football interests with the not-so-famous Latics. And two, he was part of that party that shut down the legendary Central Park. How dare he? And half of Wigan have never forgiven him.
Can I put that story in the bad, though? Because it's got bog all to do with Rugby League
Doesn't matter.
It's got nothing to do with Rugby League these days.
You go down Wigan and ask them about their opinion of that.
That's a real tenuous link.
Gets the blood boiling. They'll throw the pies at you.
I already go to Wigan often enough, thank you. I don't need another excuse for going there.
All right, you mentioned bad. Let's move on with the bad, shall we?
Okay.
Sorry, London, but you are in the bad. London's forming the Championship. Have they underestimated it? I think they have. In danger of slipping into another relegation battle. How bad is that for what was a Super League club last year? They were on about last season, we're going to come back bigger and stronger.
Well, I have to admit,
I
think the back line is very good of London's, but as a result, you've actually got to get the ball to your backs, haven't you? And I think what they've tried to do, they've tried to bring a few of their own players through, which is commendable, definitely commendable. We've been talking about so many Australians coming in and having a couple of years in London as a bit of a top up towards the rugby league pensions, and they seem to have avoided that in some respects this time round. But yeah, they've got some good young players, but that's it. They're young, they're inexperienced, they've only got a couple of members of that squad who's previously played in the Championship, so I think they have underestimated it. I think also as well they were grossly unlucky in the fact that they lost both of their first choice halfbacks to injury. The third choice halfback, he's injured now as well, so they've had to dip in and bring in players on loan. Tom Gilmore played at the weekend from Widnes Vikings, and he looks to be a good prospect. And we even saw Jared Sammet playing in the Championship. Now, his last experience of that level of rugby was one game with Featherstone last year where he kicked 10 goals and ended up being on a massive winning side, but it wasn't to be this time around for Jared.
To make matters worse for London as well, head coach Joey Grimmett, everyone's calling him Grammer, but I'm going to say Grimmett, has stepped down and leaves Andrew Henderson as the caretaker boss, which is not ideal. Andrew Henderson's a great guy, but he's just not ready to be the caretaker boss just yet, surely not.
Yeah, I mean, surely when he hung his boots up last September, I'm thinking that by the time the following March comes along, he wouldn't have been thinking, I've got a gig here as a coach, you know. Great guy, like you said, certainly knows his rugby, knows the Championship, so maybe that might be a bit of a good move for London. I don't know, but yeah, it's a tough learning curve when you're already being pitted into potentially a relegation battle to save your Championship bacon.
Unfortunately, in the ugly, drugs is involved again. The drugs scandal involving the NRL clubs, in particular the Gold Coast Titans. It's not looking good for them over there, is it? And unfortunately, it looks like it's going to involve a player that's involved with Hull FC as well.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we probably can't say too much about that story, unfortunately, at the moment in time. But I'm sure it will all come out in the wash. What is good, I think, from that whole situation is the fact that the NRL have actually stepped in at the Gold Coast Titans to take over the club. Now, if you've got a league that's actually running a club, then surely they're going to make sure that every I is dotted, every T is crossed, and everything is, you know, pretty clean and ready for action.
It's not just in the NRL where they're having a drugs problem. It's happened in the Championship over here as well, with both Ashley Bateman of South Wales and Sean Pick of Featherstone both being handed 2-year bans for steroid abuse. And the good thing is about that is that the authorities in charge of the doping process are catching players before they get too far into the career by taking those kind of substances.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, both
just putting a spin on it, why not?
But both of those players have to, you know, face the result of their actions, you know, which can only be good for them in the long run. I mean, both of those very two promising players, and it's a shame that they chose that course of action, and let's hope that they serve their time and come back better players as a result of it. But I know certainly the South Wales club are sticking by Bateman. I'm not too sure what will happen with Sean Pick, obviously, but yeah, two silly men who've you know, they've made a mistake. Let's hope they can learn from it.
Let's talk about action, shall we? World Club Challenge Series, was it a success? Was it not a success?
It's a gimmick.
A gimmick? You were sticking with that?
I am sticking with that, yeah. It should just be champion against champion.
I thought it was a success. Oh, sorry, I'm sort of talking over you. I thought it was a success in terms of attendances.
Oh, yeah, the turnstiles were clicking, weren't they?
A lot of interest media-wise regarding the actual series. Now, whether it's got legs to carry on, we don't know. We'll find out in the future. But Two good games. Unfortunately, the barn door was kicked off by the South Sydney Rabbitohs on Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they are an awesome team, let's just say that and get it out of there straight away. You know, in Greg Inglis, they've got a freak of nature that plays rugby league, and I think certainly, you know, they're a really, really good team and one of the best that I've seen over recent seasons that have come from Australia. I think the whole World Club Series, though, I don't know. It's a bit, it feels gimmicky to me. You mentioned about the positive nature of the press that was created off the back of it. Was most of that not just the media department surrounding Russell Crowe looking for a story? He's been mentioned and touted everywhere now about maybe taking over at Leeds United and putting a cheeky bid in there. It happened to be over Oscar weekend as well, so he wasn't over there on the red carpet. Instead, he was at the red carpet over at Langtree Park, and I don't know. I just think I'd still sooner have it just champion against champion. I don't see what anybody else gets from it, in fairness, because you're not playing the best of the best anyway, are you, for the rest of the competition?
Yeah, and that's just sticking with one game, and at least we know where we stand.
I think so. I mean, what is good is that it used to be that game that the Australians just didn't take with any sort of passion, did they? They just didn't really want to know about it.
No, this year they were in shore and they came over here and stuffed the pommies.
Well, that's true. I mean, where did South Sydney Rabbitohs go? They went to Wigan to find out how Wigan ended up beating St Helens, you know. So they left no stone unturned in the preparation. The other two Australian clubs also did some good preparation coming over early for it. And, you know, I just get the feeling that, they're now taking it seriously and it's something that they want to win.
Okay, let's hear from Sean Wayne, as Steve Manning was out and about with his microphone.
I think it was a tournament. It was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it. From my point of view, it was a good lesson for us to learn. I was very happy with our toughness in defence. But we put ourselves under too much pressure, not completing our sets, and that's another lesson we're going to have to learn. But, you know, when you look at our completion at 63 and them at 84, and we could have still won, it tells you that we're doing a lot of things right. So we are going to click very soon.
I know you always talk about completion and defence sort of thing, but obviously you've quoted them figures and that's where you want to be week in, week out. So has that helped, you know, to instill in the players this is what you need?
Oh yeah, it's real simple. The smarter the players are. I show them the stats from the players from last year, and we're 9-1 and 8-9, and you know, we're making 8 errors now, we're making 17, so when you cut down them errors, get our completions high, and you know, if we'd have carried on challenging Brisbane the way we did, we'd have obviously scored more points. And what happened then, we turned the ball over, which took quite a bit of juice out of us, and when we did get the ball, our effective shape wasn't good. You know, our attacking shape wasn't that good.
When it came to Golden Point, Wayne Bennett's quoted as saying he didn't realise exactly what was going to happen. Were you aware that it was going to be Golden
Point? Yeah, we got told it beforehand, so we knew what was going to happen. I thought it was 5 minutes, like it is in the NRL, it's 5 minutes in the NRL into each way, Golden Point. And it was 10 minutes, which that was a shock to me, but I knew Golden Point was happening.
So the game is brilliant theatre at Joe Burgess, perhaps making up for a couple of errors, and it just set it up, didn't it? But unfortunately the penalty went to them on the stroke of after.
Yeah, unfortunate, but I think it was great, fantastic amount of guts to score that last try, you know, to play in our yardage, and that play was, I think, outstanding try to get the game level. But we just need to be smarter in the Golden Point time, and we weren't, you know, unfortunately a little bit scruffy, and the referee chose to go in that way, and it cost us a game.
I know you're a 17 man squad and whatever you say in dressing room goes in dressing room, but from your point of view, do you think it's under that little bit more pressure, not from yourself but from people within one two at the NRL, and he's made his announcement, the fact that he's still only second full season?
Yeah, I honestly don't think he's under more pressure by anybody else, but he's certainly not from us in the club, and he's a strong character, Joe, and the only one he's bothered about is my opinion. And he's not under no pressure from me. He does some good things, he does some bad things. He's certain things he needs to get out of his game, you know, but I'm going to give him time. And there's Don Manfredi playing really well at Workington when they played. So, you know, we're all, every player in our team's under pressure, Steve. You know, I want the best all the time, but I also recognise a good thing about Joe does as well. And I think there's a little bit of him trying too hard as well. You know, he really badly wants it. I can't tell you how down he was after the win this game. And if I see a player so passionate, then I'll stay with him.
He said he's going to give Joe Burgess time. Well, he can't give him that much time. He's clear enough at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, we all saw what happened, actually, when In fact, it's Gareth Hawke, isn't it? Gareth Hawke was at Wigan and actually said that he was announcing that potentially he was signing a deal down under. And it was like, for that particular one, Sean Wayne didn't really want to know in the Wigan club, to be honest. So it is nice to see him having a different set of opinions there regarding Joe Burgess. He hasn't started the season in sparkling form. Yes, it was a sparkling try that
second
he scored.
Second-year syndrome.
We've seen it so often, haven't we? I mean, believe it or not, that actually happened to Chris Hill over at Lee. He was great when he started off. Then his second season took a little bit of a step back. I mean, fortunately, you know, he's a big enough character. He's a good enough player. He was able to build on it. But as far as Joe's concerned, he's got to do it in the NRL next season. So, you know, he's going to have to book his ideas up, isn't he?
So he's going to have to book his ideas up, or he'll be back on the plane coming back to Wigan.
Maybe that's what they want. Maybe they'll just say, go on, go over there, experience the lifestyle, don't play too well, you'll have a spot here.
Okay, let's pick up the best of the action from Super League, shall we? We had Super League round three, and for me, Parky, the best of the action for me was the big win for Widnes against the informed Wakefield and Shrewsbury Wildcats. Four tries for Lloyd White as well.
He's threatened it, hasn't he? He's threatened to actually move on and become a really, really good and important player for Widnes. Maybe this is now his time to be able to do that and step forward. It's good to see Widnes scoring a high number of points as well against a side that was previously unbeaten. My highlight of that round, however, comes at Hull Kingston Rovers. Now, they were able to overturn a 14-point deficit to overcome Wigan 22-20. Two tries there from Ken C. And nice to see Kieran Dixon back and playing rugby league and scoring tries as well, which is something that he does well. Mr. Wayne wasn't happy with that one.
Oh, I'm sure he wasn't.
No. I mean, for them to give away a 14-point advantage as well after, what, 50 minutes?
He kind of blamed the World Club Challenge game maybe having an effect on the fitness level, because he played 10 extra minutes, played for 90 instead of 80.
I don't know. And, you know, I don't know whether he has blamed that. I don't know what he's been said in the aftermath of it, you know. So I'm just going to leave it there and say, well played Hull Kingston Rovers.
Well played,
you know.
Hull Kingston Rovers, yes. Chris Chester's under pressure, well played.
Yeah, because I mean, they've been shipping in points for fun, haven't they, in their opening couple of games. So they've obviously tightened something up in that last 40 minutes of rugby that they played. They've got the attack right and they've come out with a well-earned 2 points.
Other wins on the board in round three of Super League: Catalans defeated Warrington 38-18, Sofa Red Devils defeated Hull FC 32-28, St Helens won Castleford 21-14, Leeds Rhinos defeated Huddersfield Giants 28-24.
Yeah, just a quick point on the Salford game. I mean, they've shown a lot of character there, haven't they, Salford? Because they got battered by St Helens the other week. Looked like, for all the world, they were set for relegation and set for a season of struggle. Next thing you know, they come up with a sparkling attacking performance. We already mentioned him at one point in the show, but Rangi Chase was brilliant, unplayable. Add the superlatives. Let's hope that he can keep it up and that Salford fans are going to be happy.
I'm sure they will be happy, won't they? But it'll all be the proof will be in the pudding as the games go by.
Definitely, yeah. Now they've got to move forward and actually get some consistency, haven't they?
Now, Casper Tigers, now they're a different team totally, aren't they, from the one that took to the field last year, finished in the top four. Great season they had. I'm sticking with my neck, like me guns on this one. I don't think they're going to be the success they were last year.
Well, they've played three, lost three, haven't they? So you're not really sticking to your guns, do you?
I said it before a ball was kicked.
You're just looking at league form at the moment, to be honest, mate.
I'm not jumping on the bandwagon.
But to be fair to Castleford, they're not that far away. I thought they played pretty well, to be honest, over at St Helens. They certainly asked a lot of questions of the St Helens defence, and it was good defence as well, to be honest, by St Helens at times. And I just get the feeling that once they get the first win of the season, they will go on, because they're not that far away. They lost by 2 against Wakefield. Was it by 4 the week after? They've lost by 7 there at St Helens. You might say that these defeats are getting wider, to be honest, Adrian, but I don't think they're that far away.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Well, Parky, we're on about St Helens, aren't we? And we know they're disappointed to have lost out in that World Club Challenge. But with the win against Castleford in round three of Super League, the Saints are still unbeaten, you know.
That's true. There's them and Leeds, aren't there, who were unbeaten. And, yeah, we were discussing before, weren't we, about that St Helens game. Let's hear from the man who interviews everybody for us. That's Steve Manning, and he caught up with Kieran Cunningham.
Well, Kieran, it wasn't pretty, but it was all about getting the 2 points.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was... For me, it was quite a good victory. I was I wasn't too concerned with how we got it. It was just a matter of getting in. We was a little bit dumb at times with our game management and how we control the ball, but just our will and our want was very good, and we hung in there and we tracked back and we chased down, and it was like a pack of dogs at times, you know. It was quite good to watch, and for large periods of the game I did feel like we was the better side, and even at times Castleford did look the fresher side. You could tell they hadn't played 5 days ago, but we just got on with it, and we never complained about it. We just got our job done, and you know, all credit to the players.
You were critical at the beginning of the week of your edges, but they certainly came up trumps tonight, didn't they?
Yeah, there was a hell of a lot better, and they've had a tough week. Of them outside boys, they've had a real tough week, and you know, they've come out the other side of it. And you know, I've a real feel for Jamal Lewis. He's the outside backs coach. He does a lot of work with them boys, and they let him down bitterly last week. And this week they've improved again, and he's done a good job with them, Jamal, and he's got them back on track. And even though we lost one of them very early and we had to juggle the side around a little bit, I'm still pleased with how they went.
And from your own point of view, the boys show the professionalism. It's not even been spoken about in the presser. John Wilkin dropping that goal, perhaps at one stage, why drop it, but 13 points clear, and it could have been panic stations if it had been 6 points going into that last minute.
Yeah, it is. You've got to make them calls, and we sent the message down. It just gives you a little bit of a breathing space, and you get a feel with how the game's going. And I knew Castleford hadn't finished, even though it looked like it was in control. I knew they hadn't finished, and I knew they've still got points in them. They throw the ball about a lot, and they really challenge you. They challenge you a lot, you know. They're a great attacking side.
John Wilkin, drop goal.
Yeah, it's rare, aren't they? But yeah, he did well there, did Wilkin. It came at just the right point in the game to just ensure that St Helens stayed that step ahead of Castleford, just to quell their comeback. I thought that ultimately that's probably what won the game, to be honest, for St Helens, or certainly edged it in their favour.
Right then, the big story within the world of rugby league in the UK was Gareth Hawkes, a big ban at the hands, the panel from the NFL, while being a Salford player. He decided that enough was enough, and he's walked away from Salford to go and join these Centurions, and our guys on Rugby League Street have doubled up this week and caught up with Gareth Hawkes as they unveiled him to the press in Lee.
Obviously, you had a frustrating time at Salford. Yep. Was that key in your decision to leave then and approach Lee for a contract there?
Yeah, like when I got the ban, maybe I was in a bit of a bad place, and then I went away. I had a few days away from it and thought about it, and then I thought I had plenty more rugby in me to give. So people started ringing, and then I asked could I get out of my deal, and it was good to let me go, so thank him for that.
You've got international caps under your belt, you played many Super League games, so that experience is probably going to be second to none in this division. Is that going to be key to helping your team now to progress into Super League?
I'm going to bring some experience here to the Championship. It's going to be new to me as well. I've played cup games, and it's a lot different. It's quite rough, isn't it, and it's just not as fast. But I'll bring as much as experience I've learned and try and bring it to the Lee team.
Obviously, you're not going to be able to play in the next few weeks. So is that time out key for you to get to know the players, get to know the setup? Because I mean, you're basically getting 6 weeks of downtime to learn about the club and hone your skills in as well.
Yeah, I'll just be getting fit and meeting the boys, getting to know them more. And I reckon that when my 6 weeks is up, I'll be ready to go for that first game back against Workington.
And will you be ready and raring to go for that debut?
Yeah, hopefully. And looking for, I think he's at home as well, so it'll be good for fans as well. So I'll be looking forward to that, mate.
Obviously, Gareth, there's a lot of competition in the forward line here at Lee. Will that competition only help you raise your game and benefit you?
Yeah, there's nothing better than having competition in the forward pack, especially, and that'll be good for the lads here as well. So when you're fighting for position, you train harder and people work harder, so yeah.
What was the main factor in you actually joining Lee?
Just because I've got a few friends here what was at Salford last year, and the drive that they've got going into Super League, and it's a good club, so it's a new challenge for me, and I'm looking forward to it, so that was why.
It is a new challenge, isn't it?
It is a new challenge, yeah, you're right. And but I just get the feeling that he'll be up for the challenge. We've already spoken that he should fit in quite well, to be honest, over at Lee. The fact that there's a few other players that are of a similar sort of ilk, shall we say, to himself with regards to aggression. Lee play an aggressive style, an aggressive defence. They've got good attack. Obviously, what Hock brings is a world-class offload. Looking at his stats from 2012, for example, when he got named in the Dream Team, he was the top offloading forward that season.
Oh, you've been doing your stat.
He's also, when he was at Widnes, he was the top offloading forward there, and even though he only played half the games at Salford last year, again, top offloading forward there.
Where you say half the games.
Well, you know, it is one of those, isn't it? When he plays, he is a match winner.
Yeah, it's when he doesn't play is the problem.
But, you know, he acknowledges that he's got some things to work on.
You've got to take the rough with the smooth.
You do. He's like getting a rough diamond, isn't it? Getting Gareth Hock coming playing for your team, because you know what he's going to bring from a playing point of view. As I say, a fit, a focus, Gareth Hock. Watch out the Championship, that's all I can say.
Fancy the guy from Rugby League Street Fair getting Gareth Hock. Let's hear from them now as they discuss the World Club Series of all things.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Rugby League Street. Today we're going to be discussing the World Club Series that happened recently. I'm Kieran Makin, I'm joined by Christopher Stott, Rob Lee, Drew Derbyshire.
It's been a long time coming to have, you know, an expanded World Club Challenge, but I just don't think it's really worked, purely because I think the first two games they just didn't feel as though they meant anything. Yeah, obviously they were decent games, but it was just the way that you got nothing from it. You know, it was just one team would win, one team would lose. You get absolutely nothing for it, which I think should be looked at.
Obviously, there was good spectacles all three games, but I just think, was there any relevance to needing the first two games? I don't see what they was trying to get at, because obviously it's called the World Club Series, but I think the only game that should count is the South Sydney's Rabbitohs versus the Saints game, because they're the champions of the leagues, and the other teams in it, I just didn't think needed to be in it. I would have just stuck to one game personally.
I think our problem over here is we're constantly trying to prove to ourselves we can compete with NRL teams, and maybe by thinking, right, we'll have three of our teams playing three of their teams, we'd probably have at least one victory. Warrington got close, they're probably unlucky because there was some real talking points in that game.
But I just think that we have to actually look at it in a bit of perspective. Warrington and Wigan have come close to winning, but St George, I'm pretty sure they finished around 10th. Pretty sure they didn't even make the playoffs. And Brisbane, I think, just about made the playoffs. So it's not even like they were second and third in Australia. And you just look, the World Club Challenge itself was so one-sided. All three games could have been like that if it was, you know, second v second, third v third.
In respect to Wigan, though, I think Brisbane only finished 6 points off Rabbitohs, if I'm correct.
So, but they did leave a couple of players at home. Like Jack Reid didn't play, he was a very good player. I think there was somebody, Darius Boyd, he didn't travel either. So that would suggest that they'd not.
That's the problem for me, as you see. It's as though they're not taking it as serious as we do. Obviously, them three are arguably our three best teams by Leeds Rhinos. And Brisbane and St George have won championships in the past, and they've come here and beat some of our best sides.
Well, I'm just going to throw it into here. If you wanted the top three teams to play the top three teams of where they finished, respective to say the thing, St Helens had played Sydney Roosters, Wigan would have played Manly, you know, Sea Eagles, and Warrington would have played South Sydney. So would it have put through to Sydney? But then you've got to go in that South Sydney were champions and they play the respective champions.
Yeah,
but they did actually finish third in the table.
But that just shows that.
It shows the class that there is in the NRL. But if Wigan played who came second, they wouldn't have been playing Brisbane. What they did was they went down, and you had to throw in so much money to compete in this World Cup team. And Sydney went, well, we don't want to play because we're not champion. Manly, we're not going to really bother because we're not playing the champion. And then it got all the way down to Brisbane, and they went, well, who are we playing? They went, you're probably playing the Wigan Warriors. They went, yeah, we'll renew that rivalry, because there's a lot of rivalry.
History between the two.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad blood as well. There's been some cracking games, and I think apart from the few times when Brisbane stopped playing rugby and did the rugby equivalent of parking the bus, I think It was the best match of the series.
Definitely, I totally agree with that. Warrington pushed St George close, and I mean, there were, like I said, talking points to Kevin Penny eye tackle, and that's the difference with rules, and we always get bogged down in that. But I'd like to focus on the rugby league, and I'd like to just say that the Surf Sydney Rabbitohs is probably one of the best teams I've seen in my lifetime.
Not just in rugby league, I would say they're probably one of the best teams in sport at the minute. They're that good.
I think it was you that said to me that Greg English should be illegal. He is.
The man is.
I think he's the only person who could win a rugby league grand final while playing Tiddlywinks. He is just.
Well,
he's
if a phenomenal team of Greg English's. That would just be the complete team.
Well, I think it was Phil Clark that said he could play prop if you needed to. He was that big. He could play in the half back.
He's won three NRL grand finals, three different positions. That's all you need to know.
I think what shows in the quality is in a few years ago when he set up Gesnier for the try against New Zealand, when he leapt from the in-goal area to catch the ball that was already
flick
going
it
dead
back over his head
and, to set Gesnier up. That's a phenomenal athlete who has the vision and the ability to do that. And We've got to try and combat that, and you know, I think we will in a few years. I think the gap is closing down, but I think the Rabbitohs have just, you know, stuttered our progress by punching us with a 39-0 victory. Just to kind of like draw us towards a conclusion there. When I watched it, and I watched them all with intent. The one thing that St Helens didn't do and give them more opportunity compared to what Warrington and Wigan did. Wigan and Warrington tried to hit that short ball. Tried to hit Liam Farrell. You know, Ben Westwood's on that short ball. St Helens had the know-how not to do that and flick it behind and get the ball away. And Percival came close twice, but the covering tackles were. How do you score a try when the covering tackle will always deny you? There's no way through a solid brick wall if you run after it head first.
Hopefully in the future we can really compete with Australia, but at the minute they've got too much quality in their sides, and it just showed us South Sydney game.
Thanks to the Rugby League Street guys. Are they talking sense or are we talking sense?
I think that they share my views, and it's a little bit of a gimmick, but maybe there's something to work with. Maybe we'll leave it there.
Yeah, without a doubt. But before we do move away from the World Club Challenge and talk about the Championship, we've both met plenty of British players and British coaches saying what a great experience it's been and this, that, and the other. Let's get an Australian idea of how they enjoyed it, as I caught up with everyone's favourite player, George Rowles from the St George Illawarra team. George, well, it was a tough game out there for St George, but you must have been pleased to have got the game done and dusted in your favour.
Yeah, very happy to get a win. They were a really tough side, very strong forward pack and some silky backs. So, you know, I was very impressed by the quality of the opposition and glad we got the win.
What do you think the key to success was for you guys?
I think our completion rates. In the first half, we had something like 88% in the first half, and that really put you on the right path to get a win against, you know, against most teams. So, by completing our sets, I think we really were able to get the upper hand in the end.
Obviously, you don't know a lot about the Super League club, so were you impressed by some of the skills out there by the boys from Warrington?
Yeah, I actually loved the style of play. I really enjoyed tonight. I like the way that the game's played by them and, you know, by the referees and the crowd. You know, the crowd's unreal. I'm a huge fan of the Super League. I like the quality of opposition.
It's like the cool conditions out there.
It is. It's great. It's great experience.
Now, you started off on the bench, but how did you feel you went?
I was pretty happy with it. You know, it's always hard to get going in the cold weather, but you know, I thought I went all right.
And obviously you're in pre-season, so you must be doubly happy to get the game won.
Yes, definitely. You know, to get that game won against such quality opposition, and you know, now we're really prepared to start our season with a bang. I think
George Rowe is looking to start their season with a bang.
Yeah, and by the sound of it, touted himself about for a contract with the Super League club.
Salford have signed him.
He was talking really highly there, wasn't he? But I tell you what, if he did come and play over here, I reckon that he'd make himself a bit of a cult favourite with whichever club that he chose to play for.
Without a doubt. Anyway, let's move away from the World Club Challenge. We've been talking for that for far too long now. Let's talk about Championship, shall we? In the Championship, for me, the big win of the weekend was Bradford's win against Fev.
Great result for
five
him.
Tries for Lee Gastel, showing he's maybe a bit too good for the championship.
Well, it's five tries in three games now, isn't it, for him? And yeah, I agree with you. I think certainly when we saw him at Leeds the other week, he looked a class above, didn't he? If I'm going off results though, as far as I'm concerned, my big result from last week was Hunslet taking on Dewsbury. Now, I tipped Dewsbury. I'm not really renowned as a tipster, so maybe I should just pack it in as a bad job now, but Hunslet, they beat Dewsbury 18-6. There were tries from George Flanagan and Vinnie Finnegan, five goals from Simon Brown, and that is a really, really good win, the first of the season for Hunslet. I wonder if there's many more to come.
Big win for Halifax as well. They played to a lead the week before and lost pretty close, didn't they, against the Centurions, but they bounced back with a big win against Halifax, winning them 6-2.
Yeah, against Batley Bulldogs, wasn't it? 6-2 yeah. Over there at the Mount. And I know you said big win. They seem to be the team that isn't scoring a lot of points at the moment if you take the last two games into account. But by all accounts, that was a really, really horrible pitch to play on.
Without a doubt. Anyway, you caught up with Richard Marshall after that league game. And let's get his thoughts about that game.
Yeah, it was a difficult game, wasn't it? You know, in terms of the field and the conditions. Obviously Lee contributed to that as well. I was disappointed in the first half, just in terms of our lack of field position. We come up with a couple of errors there and give a couple of penalties away. That said, in the second half it was completely different. It was a different story. We look at play counts and building momentum. In the first half, all the momentum and all the play was with Lee, and it was a direct opposite in the second half. I thought we were on our game defensively. I thought we really muscled up around the middle. Lee are obviously a full time outfit and physical, and I thought we got amongst them real well. So that's a real positive for us to go away with. Disappointed in terms of of our kicking game, and probably defending some of their kicks as well. They got a couple of kicks. You know, you get ricochets, but you make your own look in this. You know, in this job. So it's something that we'll have to look at. Proper rugby league game. It was good. You know, it did spill over from time to time, and there was a few things that I wasn't too happy with. You know, if we made mistakes, the league players will be coming congratulating our players on them mistakes, which I don't think's a real good trait to have. We try and be real positive, and they're actually rewarding you know, poor skill and poor behaviour makes you a poor team, in my opinion. That said, it was tough. It was a tough game out there. We want to be an 80 minute team. You know, we want to play for the full 80 minutes. That could have gone either way. I probably thought, if I'm being honest, a draw was probably a fair scoreline for us, and for Lee. You know, I thought it was a tough game, and I thought for us both to get a point out of that would have been good. That said, you know, you have to chance your arm when you're behind with a couple of minutes to go, and we did that, and then Lee come up with a good score. What I will say is, you know, all credit to Lee. You know, it wasn't a great game in terms of the field and the conditions, but it was in terms of the intensity and the physicality. It was a proper game, and I think Lee contributed to that. So I think, you know, they probably deserved it by the end of the score. Both sets of fans I thought were great, you know, and you know the Lee faithful were singing, and the Fooey Fooey Moy Moy songs were out, and it was a good atmosphere, and I think it's only going to build in the championship, the intensity of the games. That was a real good game. That, you know, that could have been a you know a final series type game. It was, the intensity was at that level. Yeah, I must applaud our fans, you know, stayed right to the end when the game could have gone either way.
Well, I'm just thinking, was that Richard Marshall or was it Granville? A fair.
I tell you what, though, that was a good game. It was in testing conditions. That was round two of the championship when Lee travelled over to Halifax. Tries in that game from Liam Kay, he grabbed two. Johnny Pownall grabbed the other. Halifax scored one through Ryan Manili. And it was a close encounter. Lee dominated the first half, Halifax dominating the second.
Yeah, if our listeners of this podcast don't know who Granville is, just look how open all hours.
Yeah.
You know what I'm on about.
I know who you are.
I only apologise to Richard Marshall, I'm only joking.
Yeah,
only
so you should do.
first time this season.
So you should do as well, apologising. You know, but he's actually doing a good job there at Halifax. I feel that, you know, he's blending in some players. Plenty of changes being made there. Obviously, signing several Australians as well who seem to be settling in well. Matt Place was one of them, and I noticed he was the lone try scorer in that 6-2 win at Batley.
I was tough on the hill at Batley.
Always tough. There's many teams that have gone there in the past, hoping for big victories, hoping for big performances. They come up against a resolute home side, and next thing you know, you're going home with your tail between your legs. But Halifax managing to get the better of it.
Now, Lee Centurion's backed up that win against Halifax with a win against London Broncos 25-12. So Lee going great guns as always. Sheffield Eagles backed up their big win against London the week before by defeating Whitehaven 20-6. Workington 33-6 against Doncaster. Where did that one come from?
You can say that's probably the most impressive performance of the weekend there, can't you, in round three of the championship. But yeah, Workington boosted by a couple of Wigan dual contract players there, but still being able to put big games and big performance on Doncaster.
Now, there's no Championship 1 campaign to talk about just yet, but we've got a brand new cup to talk about.
Yeah, the iPro Sport Cup. This is something that the brainchild of the Rugby League to basically involve 14 League 1 sides and two of the best amateur sides. Now, we saw 8 first round clashes this weekend, didn't we? And unfortunately, the two amateur sides, which were East Leeds and West Hull, they dipped out at the first time of asking to Keighley Cougars and North Wales Crusaders, respectively. But there were other wins in that first round for Keighley, Swinton, Barrow, Rochdale. York City Knights absolutely annihilated London Scholars, didn't they?
Surprised me, that one, 78 times.
That did. I thought that it would be a bit closer, to be honest. I've already mentioned North Wales' results. 36-10, they didn't have it all their own way, and included a couple of Warrington dual contract players as well, by all accounts.
Gene Ornsby apparently having a run up for the Crusaders.
And Newcastle as well, showing that they were way too good for Oxford, beating them by 56-20. And Oldham dispatching Coventry, so it wasn't all plain sailing for Coventry's first game as a professional club either.
Second round draw has been taken and been done and dusted. Who's playing who?
Well, the second round, it's going to take place on March the 14th, and it's Pitt's York against Newcastle, North Wales at home to Rochdale, Keighley at home to Swinton, Barrow host Oldham. So again, really interesting ties there. I'm looking out for Barrow because I think they've got quite a number of Lee players there on loan who are really boosting their efforts at the moment. And they nearly slipped up in the last round as well to the Gloucestershire All Golds.
I'm going to go with the Thunder. I'm going to adopt the Thunder for this year.
Is that what you reckon? Is that because of the...
The black and white kit, yeah.
Is that because of the Papua New Guinea connection?
No,
you know,
no,
which you're hoping to
kit.
Get over, you know, and obviously Stanley Jean being your best mate and everything.
Oh, yeah. Me and Stanley always go out for a drink round Newcastle when they go up there.
So I guess you'll
shows
be,
me the sight.
I guess you'll be looking him up then when it comes to the Magic Weekend, will you?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, good to see the Thunder actually being one of the better teams rather than being the whipping boys like they have been for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think he's assembled a pretty good squad there. He's got a lot of pace, and you know, they've got a lad there called Jason Payne who's been there for a few years now, has suffered his first share of pain, to be fair.
Oh, I like it, yeah.
But yeah, very, very good player. Should be really be playing in the Championship. I think he's that classy a player. So it will be interesting to see just how the Thunder go and develop.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Across Warrington Hospital.
Across Warrington Hospital.
With a bigger variety of music.
This is your feel better station.
Radio General.